I'm going to give you the title of this morning's sermon. It's called Delivered, Delivered, Delivered. You'll understand why in just a little while. Let me ask this. I want everyone to settle themselves now. It's not we'll all get our places, and then you only step out if it is a dire emergency. This isn't a movie theater. We don't come and go as we want. If you have a cell phone on, turn that stupid thing off so it doesn't interrupt our service. If you have rebellious teenagers sitting with you, keep them under control so they don't disrupt the pastor while he's trying to concentrate and preach. Delivered, delivered, delivered. 2 Corinthians 1:10 says, "Who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us." This sermon would be considered a sermon of very good news. English teachers could use a portion of this lesson to teach the student the different tenses in the scripture: the past, present, and future. It is God here speaking through the Apostle Paul when he says, "Who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us." Paul said that. Notice the word delivered or deliver three different times. Paul is speaking to the deliverances that God has practiced in Paul's very own life. He said, "Who delivered us?" That's past tense. He said, "And doth deliver." That is in the present. Then he said, "He will yet deliver us." What's that? In the future. I've got good news for you, folks. He could deliver you in the past. He can deliver you right now. And he can deliver you in the future. Paul emphasizes the benefit of an understanding of this past, present, and future deliverance. He uses the word trust. Listen, folks, I think I could trust a God that can deliver me in the past, deliver me in the present, and deliver me in the future. I'm glad that's my God. I have a God that delivered in the past. He's delivering right now, and he will deliver in the future. Delivered. 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 Jesus is the great deliverer. The Bible says in Romans 11:26, "And so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, there shall come one out of Zion, the deliverer, who shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob." You say, who is that one that's going to come out of Zion called the great deliverer? That's Jesus Christ, the King of kings and the Lord of lords, the forever one. There's our great deliverer. David said in 2 Samuel 22:2, and he said, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer." The Bible says in Psalm 18:2, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower." The Bible says in Psalm 144:2, "My goodness and my fortress, my high tower and my deliverer, my shield, and in whom I trust, who subdueth my people under me." Hey, over and over again, God chooses to describe himself as the deliverer. I think he likes being referred to as the great deliverer. Now, to me, the amazing truth that's found here in 2 Corinthians 1:10, our text verse, is that he has been our deliverer, he is our deliverer, and he will be our deliverer. Past, present, and future. I don't know about you, but that lights my fire. That flips the right switches in my faith in God. I've got the right God. I found the right one. He can deliver me in the past. He can deliver me right now. And he can deliver me in the future. It reminds me of that song, "Yesterday, Today, and Forever." The one that was written, I believe, in reference to Hebrews 13:8-9. "Yesterday, today, forever, Jesus is the same. All may change, but Jesus never. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. All may change, but Jesus never. glory to His name. He has not changed, and I thank God for that. Now, that encourages me. It encourages me. Hey, it encourages me personally about this deliverance in the past and in the present and in the future. You say, why? Well, I know of times He delivered me in the past. I know that He can deliver me right now, and I know He will deliver me tomorrow. Now, that you ought to take that personally. He's delivered you in the past. He's delivering you right now. He'll deliver you in the future. But that ought to encourage Christianity. He delivered the past saints. He delivers the current saint. And He delivers the future saint of God. But wait a minute. Not only that, that ought to encourage you about your family. It ought to encourage you that our parents and grandparents were delivered in the past, our forefathers. But wait a minute. He delivers you and I and our families today. Hey, those of you that have concern, listen, I have some grandchildren, and the way I see it, I think I'll be okay if God gives me another 20 or 25 years. I see what's happening around our world and our country. I've been at it long enough, and I think I know something about how I can survive no matter what comes in this world in the next 20 or so years. But I'll be very honest with you. I worry just a little bit about my grandkids. I look at my grandkids and I look at how this world has deteriorated and what's happened here in America, and I get a little bit worried. But let me say something to those of you that have children and grandchildren. If he could deliver our parents and our grandparents in the past, if He can deliver you and I today, the same God is a God of our children and our grandchildren. They too have a God that will go into the future with them and help to deliver them. I call the sermon Delivered, Delivered, Delivered. Stay with me, if you will, please, this morning. Let me say, first of all, let's look first at yesterday's deliverances. Yesterday's deliverance, Paul said, who delivered us from so great a death. He's looking back. And I believe here Paul is thanking God he did not die in the past while he was unsaved and in his sin. Oh my, Paul is thanking God that he did not die in the past while he was unsaved and unforgiven for his sin. Hey, that would have meant hell. The Bible says in Psalm 86:13, "For great is thy mercy toward me, and thou hast delivered my soul from the lowest hell." Folks, everybody here that's born again, I want to recommend something to you. You better thank God that He's a deliverer. And some of you ought to stop for a moment today and thank God you did not die before you got saved. Do you realize that you and I could have died before we got saved? Do you realize? Picture this, my friend. Instead of sitting in church this morning, we could be burning in hell. Somebody is. Somebody didn't get saved yesterday, and in hell, they lifted up their eyes being in torment today. And I believe the Apostle Paul, he said, "I thank God that God delivered me, and He delivered me before I died. He saved me, and I'm not in hell today." You know, when things begin to get tough in your life, why don't you just find you a place where it's quiet? Sit down, crack your Bible open to this verse in 1 Corinthians where Paul said, "Who delivered us from so great a death," and you just stop and realize, no matter what you're going through, you're not in hell right now. Everybody here ought to thank God you're not in hell right now. Everybody here that is under the sound of my voice, you're sucking air. You are alive, and you ought to thank God that you did not die. He delivered you before you died. Stop and think on it. Hey, listen. Somebody here today, you're not a born-again Christian. If you died today, you do not know for a fact you'd go to heaven. Can I tell you something? You ought to stop and thank God that you're still alive. And you did not die before you got saved. Now, my recommendation is, if you're here today and you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I recommend you get saved here in a little while. It's the end thing around here. Everybody's doing it. It's easy. God did the hard part. You can get saved. God delivered you. You could have died, my dear lost friend. You could have died yesterday and not made it to church today. You ought to thank God. He delivered you, and He brought you to this place so that you could be born again. I think Paul's saying, I thank God I did not die yesterday in my sin. He delivered me so I did not have to go to hell. I think Paul also here is thanking God for delivering him from a violent physical death in the past. Paul calls it so great a death. You know anything about the Apostle Paul's testimony? Bit by a poisonous snake, he did not die. He went through merciless beatings, he did not die. He suffered shipwreck, he did not die. Paul says in 2 Timothy 4:17, notwithstanding the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. I'm going to tell you something. I believe Paul was able to say, not only did he save my soul and deliver me and did not let me die in my sins, I think Paul knew God had spared his life from violent death. And it might be good for some of us to take a little glance at that from time to time. I believe this also. I believe God, and we're looking back. Paul was able to look back and say, I did not die in my sins. Paul looked back and said, I did not die a violent physical death. Paul looked back, and I believe that God had delivered Paul in his past from even people that hated him. Listen to this verse. Psalm 69:14, it says, deliver me out of the mire. Let me not sink. Let me be delivered from them that hate me out of the deep waters. Hey, listen, we can look back, and Paul and everybody could look back and say, you know something? There are people that used to hate me, and God delivered me. Let me say something. Hatred is a vicious human emotion. Hatred is a vicious human emotion. Now, I think there's some things we're supposed to hate, but we're not supposed to hate each other. I think this. I think you could have talked to David sometime later in life and say, David, how's it going? I think David could say, there was this great big goon of the Philistine by the name of Goliath. He hated me. And David could have said, let me testify. I have been delivered from the hatred of a Goliath. I don't think that only. I think that in regard to this deliverance from the past, we've been delivered from the possibility of going to hell. We've been delivered from an abusive physical death. We have been delivered from those that hate us. I think in the past, we've been delivered from strife among people. Strife among people. Psalm 18, verse 43 says, deliver me from the strivings of the people. The strivings of the people. I hate contention. I hate contention. I'm a lover, not a fighter. Now, just so you know, I'm not afraid to fight. I'm not afraid to fight. I'll let you back me into a corner. Then you're in trouble. You push me and push me and push me. You push me long enough and you push me hard enough, I'll come back. But I hate contention. I hate it. I hate it. I hate it. I hate it. And here God said, there's a deliverance. You look back and you can see the deliverance of those times when there were strivings and contention among people. I think of the story of how Joseph's brothers sold him into slavery. Oh, what contention there must have been. His brothers take him and throw him in a pit and lie to daddy about the boy being dead. Oh, hey, but I'll tell you go to the latter part of Joseph's life and you say, Joseph, tell us a little something. He would say, I'll tell you something. God delivered me in the past of strife in my family and strife among brethren. Hey, it's a good thing. There's some of us, we ought to look back and see how God has delivered us. He delivered us from going to hell. He delivered us from violent physical death. He's delivered us from people that hated us in the past. He has delivered us from strife among people. But not only that, I think God has delivered us in the past from our fears. From our fears. Psalm 34, verse number 4 says, I sought the Lord and He heard me and delivered me from all my fears. I'll tell you something. I know that we're adults, and especially may I say to all the men in here, and we would like everybody to believe there's nothing that we're afraid of, and that, you know, we're strong and we're bold and we're courageous. I have to tell you the truth today. There have been times when I've not been strong, I've not been bold, and I've not been courageous. I might have looked like a rock on the outside, but I was a scared little puppy on the inside. And I can take you to times in the past where fear was overwhelming me, but I thank God I can testify today. There have been fears in the past, but thank God, God delivered me. He delivered me from those fears. I think of the story of Daniel and Daniel in the lion's den. I've got a feeling that there had to have been at least a little touch of fear when there are hungry lions and Daniel's about to get tossed in that lion's den. I don't know if Daniel did not tremble a bit on the outside. You say, why? Because lions like Hebrew meat. Hebrew National hot dogs may be the best, by the way. Man, what a raunchy week I had. I love Hebrew National hot dogs. Anybody like those? Those are good hot dogs. We had a really long week. We were busy at our house, and I Mrs. Owens was out and about, and I went to the fridge, and there was these Hebrew National hot dogs, and they were special because we were going to celebrate. You celebrate with steak. We celebrate with expensive hot dogs. I thought, I'm going to swipe a couple of those things and eat them real quick as a snack. And I did. I ate so fast. I was in a hurry. Two reasons. I was hiding. I didn't want her to know I was eating them. Number two, I was in a hurry. I wolfed those babies down, shoved them back in the fridge, took off. I got sick. And then sicker and sicker. I started tracing my footsteps. I opened up that little bag and they were rancid. Had I chewed my food slow enough to taste it, I would have known before I ate those two spoiled hot dogs that they were bad. I had food poisoning for 2 days. I thought I was going to have a baby. You're looking at one sick Baptist preacher for a couple days. Now, I didn't let it stop me. I kept on going, but boy, I was not happy on the inside. Well, I'll tell you, when Daniel got thrown into that lion's den, that old hot dog, he too was worried about what could happen. But if you ask Daniel later on in life, I'll promise you, Daniel was able to say, I thank God, God delivered me in the past. From what, Daniel? My fears. My fears. You see, in the past, we have been delivered from the possibility of going to hell. We got saved before we died. Hey, we've been delivered in the past from possible violent physical death. We've been delivered in the past from those that hate us. We've been delivered in the past from the strivings among people. We've been delivered in the past from our fears. Not only that, I believe that God has delivered us in the past from our despair. From our despair. Psalm 107 verse number 6 says, then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and He delivered them out of their distresses. Thank God that He delivers us from our own self-inflicted emotional despair. You ever been there? Where you're down and there's despair and you're in that dark hole and you can't see any way out, but you got out. You were delivered in the past from your distresses. I think of Elijah. You know the story. Elijah had gone to Mount Carmel and fought the prophets of Baal and outran a chariot to Jezreel. And oh, what he had been through. And you find the Old Testament prophet Elijah underneath a juniper tree and he's depressed. But you just check later on in life and you ask old Elijah, how's it going? And he would say, I thank God I can look back into my past when I was depressed. I was in despair. I didn't even want to be alive. I thought there was no tomorrow. And Elijah said, look at me. It's tomorrow and I have been delivered. See, the Apostle Paul here in 2 Corinthians 1:10, he said, who delivered us from so great a death. What's he saying? I've looked back at the deliverances of God. I look back and notice what God did for me yesterday, and God delivered me. Hey, God has delivered us from slander and gossip and evil. Bible says in Matthew 6:13, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Huh. Oh, the pain of being the object of evil. Oh, the pain. You say, what's evil? That's when people are getting together and they're virtually plotting to hurt you. They're plotting to hurt your testimony. There are churches that will be here this week, and they have actually faced evil where somebody has gotten together and they formed a little group to conspire, and they tried to hurt that church or hurt that pastor. I've watched it happen in Christian schools. I've watched people in Christian schools get a little group of kids together and they conspire to hurt others. It's called evil. And oh, the pain of being the object of evil. And oh, the danger of being a part of those that do conspire to be evil. But listen, you take the story of Job. Did you know that Job had some friends, and Job had gone through some difficult times? And in the whole story, Job had some, I guess, so-called friends that came along. And they began to be critical of Job and talk to him badly and about him badly in their analyzation on how Job should have handled himself. Of course, none of those friends went down in history for having backbone. None of those friends went down in history for being the strong ones. They went down in history for being the critical ones. But they were criticizing Job because they did not think that he handled his burdens appropriately. Well, you might not want to criticize a man until you've walked a mile in his shoes. And all the pain that Job must have faced when his best of friends had turned on him, conspired against him, and was up to no good and virtual evil in his life. But let me tell you, you ask Job later on down the line, Job, how's it going? And Job would tell you, he would say, I remember back when they were conspiring and talking bad and gossiping. He said, God delivered me from that evil in the past. Not only that, God has delivered us from our own sinfulness. Our past sinful behavior, God has delivered us. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse number 7 says, and delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. Here God is telling us that Lot, who was saved, he had gotten involved, though, with a bunch of people that were living like animals. He had let the world affect his attitude and his family and the way they behaved. And Lot was saved, but Lot wasn't acting like a saved man. He maybe not been living like a saved man. But the Bible says here, and delivered just Lot. That means he was justified in the eyes of God in regard to his salvation. But it says he was vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. What had happened? Lot had gotten backslidden. Lot was away from God. But God delivered Lot from what? His mess. His mess. And folks, we can all look back into the past and see times when God delivered us from our own sinful stupidity. There's somebody in here, you could have gone to jail and should have by all rights, but you did not. You might want to glance back and look at how God delivered you. There are people in here, you ought to be blown away. I mean, your brains ought to be totally fried from the way that you used to party, but God delivered you in the past. There are people in here, you should have been pregnant out of wedlock. You did everything that it took to get pregnant out of wedlock, and for some reason, it did not happen to you. You better look back and say, thank God for the deliverance in the past. Oh, God's a good God. God's a good God. Think of your past spiritual stupidity and your own dreadful sin, and thank God that He is yesterday's deliverer. You see, we quickly and wrongfully forget His past mercy. We quickly and wrongfully forget His past grace. We quickly and wrongfully forget about His past deliverance. I say to you, we might want to let our history become our future. We might want to be reminded that He is our past deliverer. Look back and praise God for those past deliverances. Paul mentioned, he said, who delivered us from so great a death? What was Paul doing? Paul was looking back and looking at the Savior. And he said, that Savior right there, my Jesus, took care of me back there. He did not let me die in my sins and go to hell. He did not let me die a violent death in the past. He delivered me from those that hated me in the past. He delivered me from strife among people in the past. He delivered me from my past fears. He delivered me from my past depression and despair. He delivered me from gossip and evil in the past. He delivered me from my own sinful misbehavior. Thank God I serve a deliverer who delivered me yesterday. Oh, but it gets better than that. Not only did he deliver me from yesterday, let's look at the fact that we have today's deliverances. We all say, I remember back. I remember back. Brother Lacey, I'm glad that you're in a church right now. We don't have just memories of the old time way. We've got them right now. I don't have to just tell my kids about revival and tell my kids about what God can do. They're seeing it right now. Right now they're seeing what God can do. But you see, sometimes we look back and all we have are visions of yesterday. I'll tell you this. I thank God, God delivers this week. I thank God, God delivers this day. Because Paul said this. He said there in 1 Corinthians, or 2 Corinthians 1:10, who delivered us from so great a death, that's yesterday, and doth deliver. What's he saying? That's present tense, right now. Doth deliver, right this minute. You take your salvation. Your salvation, you say, I'm 40 years old. I got saved when I was 4. You know what? You got such a good dose when you were 4, it's carried you all the way through. It's still good today. Did you know that salvation's not like hot dogs? Doesn't have an expiration date. I took an old dose of salvation inside of me. It's not spoiled a lick. It's as fresh and it's as new and I can depend on it. Once you're saved, you're always saved. If He delivered you in the past with salvation, the salvation you got in the past is carried into the now and you're still born again. 2 Timothy 4:18 says, and the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work and will preserve me unto His heavenly kingdom. What is that? That's salvation. I'm going to make it to the heavenly kingdom, and it's not because of me. It's because of my deliverer. He delivered me in the past when I was a 16-year-old boy, and now I'm a 50-year-old man, and my salvation is as good today as it was back then. I'm preserved. Better than those hot dogs. Folks, you'll never be lost again. If you're here today and you're born again, you will never again be lost. Never again be lost. Those of you that worry about it all the time, stop worrying. If He saved you, He saved you once and for all. You're saved. It's taken care of. Today we have the same promises of deliverance that we had yesterday. You say, why? Because He promised in His Word that it's preserved. Psalm 12:7 says, Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. When God saved me, He saved me through His Word. He said His Word is preserved. He said that I am preserved now until I get to heaven. That's a pretty good deal. Hebrews 13, verse 8 and 9 says, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Be not carried about with diverse and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meat, which have not profited them. They have been occupied therein. Listen, folks, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is the deliverer of the past, the deliverer of now, the deliverer in the future. He's a preserver. Today, hey, He delivered us in salvation. We are delivered in the past, and we're delivered today. Not only that, we talked about salvation earlier in the past. Well, how about violent death? He delivered us from a violent death in the past. I think He can deliver us from a violent death today. I was thinking again. I go back to our dear brother, Ralph Millat. Where you at, Brother Ralph? There you are. I should have seen you over there. I smelled you come in earlier. I mentioned this last week. Brother Ralph had gone into the hospital and had a heart attack, and it was a rough one. His heart stopped, and they shocked him with those paddles. His heart stopped again. They shocked him with those paddles again. Brother Ralph, God spared you of a violent death. And if God can spare yesterday, God can spare today. God can spare today. Hey, I think Paul looked back and Paul said, there's all sorts of things in the past from which I have been delivered. And then Paul said, you know what I think I'll do? I think I'll just take a little while and think about this week. I'll think about this day. I'll think about this hour. The God that was the deliverer in days gone by is the deliverer of today. He delivered me. I'm still saved. He delivered me from violent death. I think He today can deliver us from those that hate us. And let me say, if you hate people, you're living in sin. God can deliver you from those that hate you today. There's some that hated you in the past. You say, well, I don't think so. You're just too dumb to know it. You were hated in the past and God delivered you. If you're hated today for the cause of Christ, God can deliver you. Just trust Him. He can deliver us from death and hell. He can deliver us from a violent death in the past and today. He can deliver us from those that hate us in the past. He can deliver us from those that hate us right now. He delivered us in the past from strife among God's people and strife among people in general. Look, if He could deliver in the past, He can deliver today. Who today faces strife? Who today, tomorrow, you'll go to work in the secular arena? There are those that will cause strife and backbiting and backstabbing and cutthroat behavior. And it's hard to go to work and work under those circumstances. It's hard. But let me promise you something. God can deliver us today from strife. God can deliver. Who will go home? And I hate this, but somebody here, you're the most strife you face is in your own home. Strife in your marriage. Strife fighting with your kids. Strife in your home. Strife. Hey, you say, Brother Owens, I'm facing strife. Hey, the same God that delivered us from strife in relationships in the past can deliver us from strife in relationships in the present. Who faces strife today? God forbid that it would be in the church. There ought not be strife in the church. Nothing will destroy a revival in a church or school faster than disunity. Nothing. Nothing. And that strife, it comes. But God, who has delivered in the past, can deliver in the present from strife. God, who has delivered in the past, can deliver in the present in regard to our salvation. God, who delivered in the past, can deliver in the present from violent death. God, who delivered in the past from people that hate us, can deliver us today from people that hate us and the strife that plagues us today. Not only that, He delivered us yesterday from our fears. He can deliver us today from our fears. He can deliver us this very day. What has this week brought upon you that has produced a paralyzing fear? What happened to you this week? You say, Brother Owens, it was just an overcoming fear. Just an overcoming fear that's come upon me. Let me tell you something. Whatever your new fear is that you're dealing with this week, if you'll just look back, if He can deliver you from fears in the past, He can deliver you from fears today. The Bible says the devil, like a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Again, our dear friend, Dr. Al Lacey, here this morning. Brother Lacey, I've been preaching for over 30 years, and really I thought I had a relative amount of experience, and I got to thinking, you know, after I've done this for over 30 years, I think whatever the devil's tricks are, and when he throws them at me, you know, I think I can move and shift, and I'm going to make it through this. Can I tell you all something? It doesn't matter how good you get at it, how long you've been doing it, the devil has a way to freak you out. I hate to use that terminology, but the devil has a way to all of a sudden come at you in a way that you say, I've never faced this before. He has a way to get you stuck in air. He has a way to scare you to death. But let me say to all of you, whether you're young or whether you're old, I know God has delivered me from my fears in the past, and the same God is my God today. And if the devil throws something new at me today, I still have the same deliverer. Amen. God's hand is not short. It's not slack concerning us and His promises. You children, some of you children, you have fears. You fear. You say, Brother Owens, I have a little bit of a fear of the dark. Well, let me tell you something. God's your deliverer. God is with you in the dark. God never leaves you. God never forsakes you. Children find themselves fearful of different things. And let me say to every child here, the same God that is Brother Owens' deliverer is your deliverer too. He's your deliverer. He'll deliver you in the present. Not only did God deliver you and I so that we would be saved, and He did it in the past, and it carries to the future, and He delivered us in the past from violent death, and it carries to the right now. Not only did He deliver us from hate in the past, He delivers us from it today. And not only did He deliver us from strife in the past, He delivers us from strife today and our fears in the past, and He can deliver us from our fears today. He can also deliver us from emotional despair. Is your heart in gloom this morning? Is your spirit quenched to the depths of despair? Are you like Elijah of old who said, I just like to die? Let me tell you something. If God can deliver you from despair in the past, God can deliver you again today. You say, I don't see any way out. You don't have to see any way out. You just have to see God, because He knows the way out. You just keep your eyes upon the great deliverer. You see, are you deeply depressed? There's a way out. And everybody here, you've been depressed badly in the past and you came out. He's the same God. You can come out again. Not only do we see the past, the deliverance from despair being brought into the future, that evil and slander. Remember earlier we talked about Job and the evil and the slander against him. And let me say, we look back and we see the evil and the slander against us. Hey, did you know something? If there's somebody out to destroy you and they're evil and they're slandering you or gossiping about you, if He can deliver you yesterday, He can deliver you today. The same deliverance is available. The Bible says that God can shut the mouth of those who talk wrong. Do you face intentional attack? I said earlier, I think Paul could look back. Do you know, Paul had a relatively rough life before he got saved. The Apostle Paul stood and watched Stephen get stoned to death. That's part of his past. Do you realize when the Apostle Paul first got saved and he walked into town, everybody ran and hid because they knew how mean and violent and wicked he was? But so God had spared Paul from a sinful past. And if we have been saved from a very wicked, sinful past, and God delivered us, if you are in sin today, Christian, God can deliver you again. Are you backslidden today? Let God deliver you. Are you living in a sinful state? God can deliver you. Folks, let's have faith in God. Because His promise in His Word says that today He is our deliverer. Yesterday, He was our deliverer. Let's have faith in God in the presence. And let's look back and let the past encourage the now. If you face a great fear and a great threat today, remember back to the last time you faced those same circumstances. Let me throw something in here that's really not a part of the sermon, but you need to hear it. There are some of you, you're facing today some of the same kind of things you faced in years gone by. And when you faced it in years gone by, you should have grown so you handle it better today than you ever have before. We're to be growing as Christians. If you're behaving right now, you're facing a monumental challenge. You're facing some spiritual stress of life, and you're facing it today. And if you faced it in the past, you ought to be facing it with more spiritual know-how, a little more spiritual dignity, a whole lot of spiritual control than what you faced it in the past. Why? You're supposed to be growing in the Lord. He was your deliverer. That ought to be an education to you. Now use the education to help you as He delivers you in the now. 2 Corinthians 1:10, it says, who delivered us from so great a death, it's Paul looking back, and doth deliver, that's Paul looking at the now, and then he says, in whom we trusted that he will yet deliver, and we go to the now. Let's face the fact that God not only delivered us in the past, and is delivering us now, but there are future deliverances available. He will yet deliver us. That's future tense. That's tomorrow. Folks, don't fear tomorrow. Matthew 6:34 says, take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Folks, let me tell you something. Tomorrow is in the same hands of the deliverer that is your today deliverer, who was the same hands that was your yesterday deliverer. Yesterday, today, and forever, He's our deliverer. Look. Tomorrow, He's already there. He's already there. He doesn't try to catch up to you when you step in tomorrow. He's waiting for you to get there. He's already there. He always has been and He always will be. He always has been in the past. He always has been in the present. He always will be in the future. You're not going to go into the future without Him. He's there. In whom we trust, Paul said. If you look into tomorrow and you see a great challenge coming, be reminded He promises to deliver tomorrow as well. There's somebody that says here today and you say, Brother Owens, we closed out work on Friday and the boss called us all together. And the boss said, it looks like there might not be work next week. And you're fretting today. And God bless you. I'm sorry you're facing that challenge. It's a very realistic challenge in these days and age and this economy. But may I remind you of something? The very God that got you that job is still alive. He was your God before you got the job. He was your job while you had the job. And He'll be your God after you lose the job. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Don't panic. Stay calm. Your God is strong. If you look into tomorrow, you be reminded that He is our deliverer. If He can deliver the past and He can deliver the present, He dead sure can handle the future. He can. You say, Brother Owens, I fear the possibility of death tomorrow. God's our deliverer. You say, Brother Owens, I sense on the horizon some hateful enemies. Well, we talked about this earlier. He delivered us from enemies in the past. He can deliver us from enemies today. You say, but Brother Owens, I see on the horizon some hateful enemies. Guess what? He can deliver you from the enemies of your future. He can deliver you from the death of your future. You say, Brother Owens, I see strife on the horizon. Well, look, if He can deliver us from the strife of the past, and if He can deliver us of the strife of the present, don't you think that He can deliver you and I from the strife of the future? Absolutely He can. You say, Brother Owens, I have fears. I see there's something I fear in the future. I see it coming. It scares me. Well, let me tell you something. If He can deliver you from the fears of the past, and He can deliver you of the fears of the present, don't you think He can handle the fears in your future? You say, Brother Owens, I fear slander. I see slander coming my way. I see a slanderous evil, a plot and plan against me. Well, let me tell you something. If He delivered you from slander and evil in the past, and He can deliver you from slander and evil now, He can handle the future slander and evil that's coming your way. You and I may vacillate in our power, but God does not vacillate. He is my God of yesterday. He's my God of right now. And thank God, He's already in the future, and He's got a dose of power that will not be limited. He's my deliverer. Live by faith. Trust Him. Trust Him. Trust Him, Christian. He's our deliverer. Dear senior citizen, you say, Brother Owens, I fear tomorrow. I fear it. You say, Brother Owens, I fear my finances being depleted. For the ones I see what's happening to my health. It's going down. Dear senior citizen, think back to your God and think of how He's delivered you in the past. You say, but that was when I was young. I realize that, but your God has not grown old. You and I do, but God is not. You say, but I'm older, Brother Owens. God's Word has not grown old. It's as fresh can be. You say, but Brother Owens, I've grown weak. But your God is not weak. And senior citizen, if your God delivered you in the past, and if your God is delivering you right now, don't you worry, my dear gray-haired friend. Your God is in the future, and He's there to take care of you. You say, Brother Owens, I'm not feeling well. I'm sick. And I'm a little afraid of what the future holds. Let me assure you of something. He's delivered you in the past. He's delivering you now. And He who created your body has deliverance in the future. Brother Bajent, hang in there, my friend. A year and 2 months ago, we were down at a hospital in Baltimore, and I'll be quite honest, me and you and Mrs. Bajent and Mrs. Owens, we were all a bit scared because they said you had cancer. It was eating up your body. To be quite honest, we all thought it might take you pretty fast. As a year and 2 months ago, He delivered in the past. He's delivering now. He'll deliver in the future. Oh, I can't promise anybody that the deliverance is total healing. But I'll tell you something. You could be delivered and stay here on this earth, or to be delivered and go to the better place. Hey, anyway, baby, we win. I'm on the winning side. Remember the story. Dr. Hiles and Dr. Rice were preaching at a sword conference. Dr. Hiles said that a fellow pulled out a gun, shoved it right at Brother Rice's belly. Said, old man, give me your wallet. I'm going to kill you. Dr. Rice took his glasses off. He used to take them off, put them in his mouth like this. Dr. Rice said, first of all, young man, my brains aren't in my belly. Because he had said, I'm going to blow your brains out to him. He said, I'm going to blow your brains out. Dr. Rice said, well, first of all, young man, my brains aren't in my belly. He said, secondly, young man, you can't threaten me with heaven. I say to you, if my God can deliver in the past, my God can deliver in the now, and my God can deliver in the future. Trust Him in whom we trust. Don't trust yourself. Don't trust your money. Don't trust your job. Don't trust your education. Don't trust your character. Don't trust your inheritance. Don't trust your psychologist. 1 Thessalonians 1:10 says, and to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from wrath to come. Say, Brother Owens, I'm fearful. What does the future hold for America? I'll tell you what the future holds. It holds a thing called the rapture. Woo! I'm telling you, Fox News is going to lose it. Say, I'm worried about the future. Don't worry. I've read the last chapter of the book. We're getting out of this mess. The rapture's coming, Christian. Say, Brother Owens, I worry about America. Don't worry. The election's coming, baby. Oh, I have so much to say and so little time to say it. Stay with me for a moment more. You know, with this in mind, my deliverer in the past, present, and the future. I guess if God is a deliverer for us, past, present, and future, it must mean that we're always in need of deliverance. He must stay on guard because he knows the dangers from which we are delivered. They seem to be always possible. I might recommend this, Christian, don't get too cocky then. Don't get too arrogant. Well, I called on Him yesterday, used Him like a credit card. Now I've disposed of Him. I'd say that's a real bad idea. You used Him yesterday to capitalize on a little deliverance, and now you're going to live it up because you don't need Him anymore. If He needs to deliver us past, present, and future, you might want to stay with Him right now. We're always in need of deliverance. I'll tell you this also. I think it would be wise of us that we would fill our lives with praise. Our lives ought to be filled with praise. You say, for what? Past deliverance, present deliverance, and deliverance to come. If you're here today and you're not saved, I want to give you a real, real, real good piece of advice. You got to get saved. See, you had life yesterday. You have life today. I can't promise you you'll have it tomorrow. God probably brought you here today to save your sin-cursed soul so you don't have to go to hell. There are some who would have to say, I'm in hell right now. I did not get saved before I died. How sad. If I were you, I'd accept Him as the Savior today. You're a sinner. The Bible teaches there is a penalty for your sin, and Jesus Christ paid that penalty with His death, burial, and resurrection. You need to ask Him to come into your heart and be your Savior. You need to ask Him to forgive you of your sin of rejecting Him as Savior. Have Him come into your heart and save you. Get saved today. Let Him deliver you. And then once He saves you, you'll never have to worry about that again. You say, why? Because once you get saved, He covers your past, present, and future. God, using Paul, said, who delivered us from so great a death, past, and doth deliver, present, in whom we trust that He will yet deliver us. If you're here and you've never trusted Christ as Savior, we want to invite you to the Savior. If you're here and you're in need of a deliverer, you have one. From Zion, the great deliverer, our Lord Jesus. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. The first question is to those that are not saved. If you died today, do you know for a fact you'd go to heaven? I'm not asking you if you're religious. I'm not asking you if you did some religious ceremony. I'm asking if you died today, have you trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? You say, if I died today, I'm not saved. I need to be saved. We want to invite you to the Savior. There's somebody here that would say, preacher, I'm not saved. I need to be saved. Pray for me. Would you raise your hand right now and say, that's me. I'm not saved. I need to be saved. God bless you. I see that hand. Who else? You say, I'm not saved. I need to be saved. I need to be delivered from my sin so I don't die and go to hell. Who else? There's another hand. You say, I'm not saved. There's another hand. Who else? You say, I'm not saved. This is what's going to happen. Those of you, God bless you. I see another hand. You say, I'm not saved. I need to be born again. This is what's about to happen. In a moment, we're going to have what's called an altar call. In just a moment, we're all going to stand. In just a moment, the choir is going to begin to sing. In just a moment, the men that are sitting on this platform will step off the platform and post themselves down front at the end of each aisle. If you're not saved, whether you're sitting in the balcony or the lower floor, you leave your seat, you walk toward the front, you walk up to one of the men at the aisle, and you say, I want to be born again. And we'll have some people called soul winners. These are people that know the Bible very well. They'll show you how to be born again, and you can get saved today so you don't have to die and go to hell. Those of you that raise your hand, knowing that you're not saved, you need to come. If you should have raised your hand and you did not, I hope you'll come. How many born-again Christians in this house today would say, Brother Owens, the sermon on deliverance, God sent it this day for me. I needed that sermon. Would you raise your hand? There are hands up all over this building. There are some of you Christians ought to leave your seat, come down here and do some business with your God this morning. You come and use this altar. You thank Him for being your deliverer. You claim that deliverance. You let Him care for some of those fears. You may need this altar this morning. If you've been saved and never made it public, you come. If you've been saved and never followed the Lord in believer's baptism, you come. I'm going to ask the instrumentalists to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed, our eyes closed. Choir, sing a song of invitation. Leave your seat now. Leave the balcony. Leave your seat. If somebody's standing in beside you and you can't get through, just say, excuse me. Excuse me. You come on. You come to this altar. If you're not saved, walk up to the men at the aisle. Say, I want to be born again. If you've been saved and never made it public, you come. We'll help you to make it public. If you've been saved and you've never followed the Lord in believer's baptism, you come. You come. Maybe you've been saved. Maybe you've been baptized after your salvation and you would like to join our church. If you have been saved and you have been baptized by immersion after your salvation, and you'd like to join fellowship with our church, we would be glad for you to come. Do you need the altar? The Does somebody need deliverance in a special way today? Oh, we all do. If you're not saved, please come. If you've been saved and never baptized, you come. We talked about baptism in Sunday school some this morning. If you've been saved and never baptized, you ought to come and follow the Lord and believe in baptism. Don't feel like you need to be in a hurry at the altar. You take your time and do business with God. Somebody here, you ought to join the church today. I don't want you to come under false pretenses. This is a Baptist church. It says Baptist on the sign, we're Baptist. This is the King James Bible Church, that's it. It's not one of a few with us, it's one of a kind. Maybe you need to come. We believe in a hell that's high. We believe in a heaven that's real. We believe in loving people and being good and kind to people. We also believe in holy living. So I don't want you to come under false pretenses. But if you need a church home, and you've been saved, you're welcome to come. If you've been saved and never baptized, you come and we'll help you to take care of that. Thank you, choir. Thank you, congregation. Have a seat there.